Many years ago, I heard the testimony of a pastor who had jumped in with both feet into the prosperity gospel. He kind of abandoned the traditional gospel he'd been taught when he was a young person and jumped into this whole idea that what God wants more than anything is for his people to be overwhelmingly wealthy and overwhelmingly successful. In his testimony, he said that the turning point in his life was when he was a very young minister. And he was invited to supper one night in the homes of some members who had been incredibly blessed materially. He said, we walked into a house, and he said, I can't describe it as a house. It was a mansion. It was one of the finest places I'd ever seen in my life. Said, I walked into the doors of this house, and he said, you could look around yourself, and he said, you saw artwork that was worth thousands and thousands of dollars adorning the walls. He said, we went into the dining room, and there was the finest of china and the most beautiful crystal I'd ever seen in my life. And he said, it was just obvious in every room we entered that these people had excellent taste, and they had invested unlimited money in the place in which they lived. And he said, as we left that night, I turned to my wife and I said, wasn't that an amazing time? Wouldn't you love to live in a mansion like this one day? But you know, God's called us into the ministry. We will never afford a mansion worth millions of dollars. And he said, my wife turned and she looked at me and she said to me, you have no faith. And he said, that turned my life around, and I began to realize that what God wants for me is absolute abundance. And he said, and today, I want you to know, I live in a mansion all my own. A lot of people are afraid of the prayer of Jabez because of that very thing. Because they think this is a passage in the Bible that if you twist it the wrong way will cause you to begin to pursue the wrong things that you need to pursue in your life. That somewhere along the line you will begin to trust God for big things and those mean big things for myself. That you turn real faith into a frantic search for material comfort. But that's not what the Bible is saying at all. Oh, Lord, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory. And there have been folks along the way that have chosen that particular phrase out of 1 Chronicles, and they've said, see, this is it. This says God wants me to have it all. God wants me to go to all of the greatest places in the world. God wants me to be able to own the most important houses that I can find, to have all of the material goods that this world can offer. That's what the Bible is saying. But that approach is not faithful to Scripture. This morning, I want to talk to you about what the Bible is really saying through the prayer of Jabez. When it prays, O Lord, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory. I can tell you two reasons that we need to pray that prayer and we need to pray it seriously. The first one is simply this. It is Scripture. It is Scripture. This petition doesn't take you beyond the Bible. It comes directly from the Bible. That means we have to take it seriously. God has taught us to pray, Lord, enlarge my territory. If He's inspired it, then you have to apply it faithfully and seriously. And the second reason is this, because enlarge my territory is a prayer that is consistent with the Bible's total revelation. When Jabez prayed that prayer, it's a prayer that is echoed throughout Scripture. Just a moment ago in our children's message, Rich taught us that God blesses us so that we can be a blessing. Jesus told the story of the talents in which he rewarded those who took what they had been given and made more of them and punished the one who did not. Ephesians 3:20 declares, Christ is the one who is able to do exceedingly abundantly all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us. And in the passage we read together this morning, Jesus declared, he who is faithful in what is least will also be faithful in much. What do all of those passages have in common? They're all saying the same thing. Lord, enlarge my territory. enlarge my territory. The question is not whether we are to pray that prayer, it is whether we are praying it correctly. When I pray, Lord, enlarge my territory, what am I asking God to do? That's the real question, isn't it? That's the important question that we ask. You see, the Bible is not calling on you to pray for material abundance, for the ability to be personally affluent. Acquiring material goods for the sake of material goods is not what the prayer of Jabez is all about. This morning, I want us to take some time and I want us to explore this passage and I want us to look at the mind of the Lord and what He's revealed to us through His Word and discover what it means and why you need to stop and seriously consider what it means when you pray, "Oh Lord, bless me indeed and enlarge my territory." And that's the key term. That's the term you have to hang on to as you read through this prayer. That term is territory. Territory. He says, enlarge my territory. Now think what that meant in the days of Jabez. Territory was more land that he had to take care of. Territory meant getting up earlier in the morning, working harder behind a plow that was drawn by oxen. Territory meant planting more crops, which required more care and more attention and took longer days. Territory meant trusting the rainy season would come and for the harvest to be plentiful. But then there were more long days in the field, bringing in the crops and storing them away to be used and to be sold. More territory meant hiring more workers who would depend upon you to make wise decisions so they could provide for their families. In other words, it's a serious thing to pray, "Lord, enlarge my territory." It's more than just saying, "God, I wish I had more stuff." It is recognizing, and God, whatever you give me, then I've got to put it to good use. I was working on that the other day, and I was thinking about my son Jamie and his friends when they were back in high school, because all of them had the same dream growing up in Haleville, Alabama. Every one of them wanted to go to college, get a good degree so that they could have a good job and a good career. And then every one of them said, "And then I want to have property of my own. Property so I have room to plant crops, and property so I can buy cattle, and property so that when I can come home from my good job and my good career, my hobby will be taking care of my farm." And I would look at them and say, "Guys, there's one thing you need to remember. When you buy a lot of property, you don't own the land owns you. And you don't work it as a hobby. It becomes something that you have to be serious about taking care of." I think the word is stewardship. And some of you who are here today understand that because you own farms and you own hunting land and you own property and you recognize that when you own it, it has a grip on you. So you have to be careful before you ask for too much, because if you get too much, it's going to get a grip on your life and it's going to begin to control your time and it's going to begin to be the thing that is the center of your attention. And you better be careful before you pray, "God, enlarge my territory." But if you want to live your life with impact, then you can pray that prayer of Jabez. Now, we stop and we think about that and we think, "Well, I'm not sure I think the way he did." After all, we live in a different culture than Jabez did. We live in a culture full of people who live in apartments and condominiums and garden homes. And if you say, "I want you to have a little bit more land," they're going to say, "No, thank you. I don't want that. I moved here because I did not want that responsibility." So how do we pray? How do we pray for more territory? Well, let me suggest some things we're asking. I think there are four petitions that we're asking God for when we say, "Lord, enlarge my territory." The first thing is this. You're saying, "Lord, enlarge my opportunities." Not more opportunities for myself. Give me more opportunities to make much of you. Jabez was praying, and he was saying, Lord, enlarge my territory because I want my life to be a testimony for you. It's the cry of a heart that doesn't want to settle for being spiritually ordinary. It's one of those times when you're praying, God, give me the opportunity to let my life be a witness for you. Wherever I go and whatever I'm doing, I want people to see your presence in me. And I want them to recognize you're at work in my life. Seems to me that most people view the Christian life as one of two things. It is either an obligation or it is an opportunity. One or the other is probably true of your own life this morning. For those whose faith is an obligation, they're willing to settle for the bare minimum. There's no real hunger to know the Lord better. There's no serious investment in His Word. There's no desire to judge your life by His standards. You just kind of want to know that He's there, and you want to know that you know Him, but you also want the Lord to be okay if you put Him over in the corner in your life because you're busy and involved in paying attention to other things. I'm willing to settle for less where the Lord is concerned. You know what I mean? It's not that I don't believe in Him, and it's not that I haven't trusted Him, and that He's not my Savior, but I just don't want to invest a lot of time and attention in what it means to be a Christian. It's just an obligation I have. I'll be there on Sunday morning. I may come back on Sunday evening or Wednesday night. I may involve myself in a Sunday school class. I will do what I have to do. But I also recognize once I fulfill my obligation, then I want to move on. Is your faith an obligation? This is how I can tell you how you can determine that. When you leave this building today, how long will it be before you really think about your Christian faith again? If you leave this place and go back into your regular world, and the truth is you don't think again about your relationship with Jesus until you're on your way back to church next Sunday, then your faith is an obligation. It's something you have to do. But nothing is more exciting than to see someone catch a vision of following Jesus as an opportunity. To watch people who light up where their faith is concerned. They want to know Him better. They want to be used by Christ. They want to be involved in things that God wants them to do. They want to be transformed from the bare minimum to a desire for more. Lord, make more of me. Makes me think of Paul's great desire. Not that I've already attained it or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. If you see your faith as an opportunity, that last phrase is important to your life, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. God took a grip on me. When I met Christ, I've never been the same. I hunger to be changed into His image. I want you to have the most of me, Lord. To pray for opportunities is to pray to be used for God's purposes. It is to see all of my life is defined by my relationship with Christ. Rather than walking out of here and not thinking about Him again until next week, I think about Him constantly. As I'm making decisions and choices, I'm recognizing, what does the Lord want me to do? How can the Lord use me? It may be a big thing that everybody else knows about. It may be a small thing that nobody will know but yourself. But you know, God is getting the best there is of me. Lord, enlarge my territory. Give me more opportunities. And then I think the Bible is saying this. We are to pray, Lord, enlarge my responsibility. Jabez understood more territory meant more responsibility. He was asking God to give him the opportunity to accomplish more in his life. God, I don't want to be a little bit. I want to be a lot for your sake. Praying for more responsibility is praying, God, open more doors so I can serve you. Lord, give me the responsibility to do the things that you want me to do. I know it's going to take time. I know it's going to take effort. I know it's going to take concentration. I know it means I'm going to have to say no to other things if I'm going to say yes to you. But Lord, bless me Bless me and give me more responsibilities. It reminds me of that famous prayer that Solomon prayed after he became king. You remember? Everybody knows that Solomon prayed that prayer. Most people just don't really know what it is. Most people would say this: when God asked Solomon, "What do you want?" Solomon said, "Make me wise. I want to be the wisest man on the face of the planet." And this is what most people assume. And when Solomon prayed that prayer, what he was saying was this: I want to be the wisest man who ever lived, because I want to be the greatest king who ever lived, and I want to have an abundance of wealth like the world has never seen, and I want to have power and influence so that I can take this kingdom and make it a world power. God, make me wise so I can get more. But that's not at all what Solomon was praying. This is what he said. He said, "Therefore, give to your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours?" Did you hear that? Not one time did Solomon in his prayer say, "Me." What did he say? He said, "Lord, you've put me in a very responsible position. I'm the ruler of my people. What happens to the kingdom now, the responsibility has all fallen on you. And these are great people. And I don't know anybody that's capable of doing the job you've given to me. So God, give me the wisdom to be a responsible leader." To pray for enlarged territory is to pray that God will empower you and trust you in ways that will be challenging and may even seem overwhelming. There may be times when God calls on you to do something and you're going to think, "Lord, that's too big. Lord, you're demanding too much. Lord, I don't think I can do that." At our staff Bible study early Wednesday morning, Nathan was reflecting on when God called him to be the youth minister of this church. You remember that? And we were talking about that. And that took me back, and I began to think about what that was like. You remember Nathan was here, and he was our music associate, and he was playing the piano. And the time was coming up for our youth to go off on a mission trip. And that was exactly the time when the Lord called Trey Norrell to leave us to go and pastor a church in Clanton. And they were just a few weeks away, and so we called on Nathan and said, "Would you be willing to take our young people on this mission trip?" And Nathan thought he was taking the kids away for a week and he was going to spend some time with them and get to know them and get to do some work with them. What he didn't realize was what God had in mind, because across the course of that week, God began to deal with his heart. They got back from that mission trip and Nathan came to me and he said, "Look, I don't want to put any pressure on you, and I don't want to put any pressure on our church, but," he said, "that week I was away, God began to deal with me, and I think he's calling me to be the youth minister here at First Baptist." Nathan argued with the Lord. It wasn't one of those yahoo yippity things for him. He said, "Lord, I'm newly married. Lord, I'm beginning my master's degree. Lord, I don't even think I have time to do this if I wanted to. I'm not sure I can do it." But God's call kept on, didn't it? Kept pushing. And Nathan came to me, and I saw God at work, and the church saw God at work. And aren't you glad that we all listen to God? But if Nathan had been reasonable, he would have said, "Lord, this is too much responsibility. I'm not ready yet." Because sometimes that's what happens when you pray that prayer. Sometimes God will take you to the very edge of what you know you're capable of doing, and then he'll pull you out into the places you've never been before, and you begin to see his hand at work, and he does amazing things that you never would have known about if you had stayed back and said, "I just don't think I want that much responsibility." When you pray for enlarged territory, you never know how the Lord might bless you. You never know how the Lord might go to work in your life. Now, it may not be that he's going to call you to ministry the way he did Nathan, but it might. He may not call you to serve him on the other side of the planet the way Rich and Susan have done over the years, but it might. The idea of praying, Lord, give me more responsibility, is not that we're able to say to him, look this far and no further. Once you pray, Lord, enlarge me, and you begin to ask for more responsibility, and he begins to put those things into your life, then all you can do is follow through. All you can do is be obedient. One thing will be for sure. If you pray that prayer, he will take you beyond your comfort zone. It means asking God to use you in ways that will challenge you and change you, and you will be a transformed person. So be careful when you pray that prayer. But the Bible's not through yet. I think we're also supposed to pray, Lord, enlarge my accountability. It's interesting that when we pray for enlarged territory, we usually only think about the benefits. You know, we want to say, Lord, that you will bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, and you're going to give me all kind of neat stuff, and you're going to put me in all kinds of neat places, and I'm going to get to do all kinds of neat things. And we never really think about the accountability that goes along with the territory. But we are accountable for every blessing the Lord brings into our lives. Once you say yes, you're accountable. I'll never forget my first day as an official pastor of a church. I had been praying for this to happen for years, and finally God opened the door, and I went into that place, and I became the pastor of the First Baptist Church in Aliceville. And I remember that first day I went in, I put my books on the shelves. I had a little plaque on my desk that had my name, and it said pastor. Now, they were not as brave as y'all. They didn't put my name on the sign. But this is what I remember, though, y'all. I got everything kind of set, and I sat down in my chair in my office, and I leaned back here on this very first day as a pastor. And then it hit me like a ton of bricks. I'm going to have a word from God for these people. Every Sunday morning. Every Sunday night, every Wednesday, for the rest of my life. It terrified me. All of a sudden, I thought, I'm not sure I'm smart enough to do this job. And you know what? I wasn't. And I remember the next time I had an opportunity to go to Tuscaloosa, I ran straight to the Christian bookstore, and I bought this book. And this is Minister's Annual Preaching in 1989. Let me tell you what's in this book. This book has worship services for every week. This book has scripture passages you can call on. This book has sermon outlines that you can use. And I bought this book and I carried it home and I put it up and I thought, okay, when I hit that week where I really just don't have anything to say and I'm not sure what to tell these folks, I think I can pull out that book and find some kind of sermon that I can use. But you know what I discovered over the years? I discovered this. When you're responsible and when you're accountable, the Holy Spirit is faithful. And over the years, I never had to pull this book out to look for a message from the Lord. But you know, I still keep it on my bookshelf. And you know why? Because it reminds me to depend upon the faithfulness of God to give me the words to share. While the Lord's been faithful in inspiring the messages, I'm still accountable. You know what that means? That means I don't come in here on Sunday morning and sit down at my desk and say, what do I think I'm going to say today? I have to put in the hard work and the study and the preparation. And the truth is, usually every Sunday morning, I'm on my back porch before I come to church, and I'm still editing the message before I come. May not always show, but that's what I'm doing. Because you see, I recognize you have called me to stand behind this pulpit. And if you've entrusted me to bring a word from God, then I'm accountable. I'm accountable to Him and I'm accountable to you. Because when we pray, Lord, enlarge my territory, we're also praying, Lord, enlarge my accountability. When you ask him to enlarge you, you're also making a commitment that you will be accountable to him for every door he opens. Don't ever say, God, if you open a door, I'll walk through it, unless you're ready to do that. So there we are. Lord, enlarge me. Enlarge my responsibility. Enlarge my opportunities. Enlarge my accountability. Because all of those things lead to the most important thing. The most important prayer that we can pray following the prayer of Jabez is simply this: Lord, enlarge my influence. Whether I'm at church, whether I'm at home, whether I'm at work, what I'm praying, Lord, is enlarge my influence for you. Help me to touch the lives of other people with the gospel of Christ and the presence of the Lord Jesus. Don't increase my influence so that people will think I'm an influential person. Increase my influence so that other people's lives can be transformed. Oh Lord, that you would bless me indeed, that you would enlarge my territory. Are you ready to pray that prayer this morning? It's dangerous. It's no holds barred. It is whatever God wants to do next. But whatever he does, he will make more of you. And you will make more of a difference for him. Maybe today you're here and the first step in this whole process would be trusting Christ as your personal Savior. You've heard about him, you know the information, but you've never trusted him. You've never decided Jesus Christ is going to be the one who guides my life, grants me eternal life, forgives my sins, gives me a chance to be a transformed person. Maybe today you need to trust Jesus. Maybe today you need to be part of this fellowship because God's leading you here. And it's not a matter of this is where I want to be, it's this is where God's calling me to be. And you need to bring your membership and become part of First Baptist Church. Maybe God's dealing with you in some very specific ways. And he's waiting for you to say yes so that he can enlarge your influence. Is there a decision you need to make? We're going to stand and I'll be here. Dr. Hutchins will be here. We would love to introduce you to Christ. We would love to greet you as you make your decision. Will you come? Let's stand together. Let's sing.
Oh,
Well, it's been good to be in God's house today. Good to be gathered together for worship. Hope you'll be back tonight. 5 o'clock, we're going to look together this evening at, once I decide I'm really going to take this seriously, then what does God do from that point forward? And then at 6 o'clock, we're going to head down to the fellowship hall. We're going to enjoy our great snack supper. We've done this the last few months. It's a time not so much to eat food as it is to share fellowship and just have a great time. And I hope you'll be there for that. Let's bow together for our final prayer and then our last song. Father, we do want to pray that, Lord, you will enlarge our lives. Not so we can have more, but so that we can be more for you. Lord, bless us as we trust you and as we follow you from this place and into the week in front of us. Help us, Lord, to be people of influence for the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.